ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय 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 So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, today text 32. Pashyami daninam klesham lubdhanam achittatmanam bayat alabda nitranam sarvato vivishankinam Pashyami daninam klesham Pashyami daninam klesham Lubdhanam achitatmanam Lubdhanam achitatmanam Bayat alaptanitranam Bayat alapta nitranam Sarvato vivishankinam Sarvato vivishankinam Pashyami daninam klesham Lubdhanam achitatmanam Bayat alapta nitranam Sarvato vivishankintam Pashyami I can partially see So practically see Daninam Of persons who are very rich Klesham The miseries, lubdhanam, who are extremely greedy, achitta atmanam, who are victims of their senses, bhayat, because of fear, alapta nidranam, who are suffering from insomnia. Sarvata from all sides Abhi Vishnakinam being particularly afraid. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. The Brahmana continued, I'm actually seeing how a rich man who is a victim of his senses, is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides, despite his wealth and opulence. Purport. Greedy capitalists accumulate wealth under so many miserable conditions. The result being that because they collect money by questionable means, their minds are always agitated. Thus they are unable to sleep at night, and they have to take pills for mental tranquility to invite sleep. And sometimes even the pills are a failure. Consequently, the result of having accumulated money by so much labor is certainly not happiness, but only distress. What is the value of acquiring a comfortable position if one's mind is always disturbed? Narottam Das Thakur has therefore sung Sangsara Bishanale Dibani Shi Hiyaya Jivale Chudaite Na Kainu Upaya. I'm suffering from the poisonous effect of material enjoyment. Thus, my heart is always burning and is almost on the verge of failure. The result of greedy capitalist unnecessary accumulating of wealth is that he must suffer from a blazing fire of anxiety and always be concerned with how to save his money and invest it properly to get more and more. Such a life is certainly not very happy, but because of the spell of the illusory energy, materialistic person engage in such activities. As far as our Krishna consciousness movement is concerned, we are getting money naturally by the grace of God by selling our literature. Literature is not sold for our sense gratification. To spread the Krishna conscious movement, we need so many things, and Krishna is therefore supplying us the requisite money to advance his mission. The mission of Krishna is to spread Krishna conscious all over the world, and for this purpose, we naturally must have sufficient money. Therefore, according to the advice of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, we should not give up attachment to money that can spread the Krishna conscious movement. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.256, Prapa prapanchi kataya bhutya hari sambandhi vastuna mumu kshubhi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. When a person eager to achieve liberation renounces things which are related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though they are material, this is called incomplete renunciation. Money that can help in spreading the Krishna conscious movement is not a part of the material world, and we should not give it up, thinking that it is material. Srila Rupa Goswami also advises, Anashaktasya Vishayan Yadharham Upayunjita Nirbhanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.5.5. Money is undoubtedly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for sense gratification. Every cent should be spent for spreading the Krishna conscious movement, not for sense gratification. There is a danger for a preacher when he receives great quantities of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of the collection for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. The preachers of the Krishna conscious movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantity of money needed to spread this movement. Let us not make this money the cause of our distress. It should be used for Krishna, and that will cause our eternal happiness. Money is Lakshmi, or the goddess of fortune, the companion of Narayan. Lakshmi must always remain with Narayan, and then there need be no fear of degradation. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langitakirim Yat Kripadamaham Vande Shri Guru Tinatayanam Vanchukalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavade Pasthyatyate Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Before I start, I would like to thank especially Dharma Atma Prabhu for giving me this opportunity. Actually, yesterday I just went to his office to ask for advice regarding the FRO, Foreign Registration Office, and he helped me, but he also immediately engaged me in some service. So thank you very much. I'm aware that this is a very special mercy to speak in Vrindavan, especially since there are so many more qualified speakers. So I beg for their permission and blessings that I may say something relevant. So I read again the text of today. The Brahmana continued, I actually seen how a rich man who is a victim of senses is very greedy to accumulate wealth and therefore suffers from insomnia due to fear from all sides despite his wealth and opulence. So we are here in the instruction given by the Avadhuta Paramahamsa to Prahlad Maharaj, and in this text a materialistic person is described. Someone who is extremely greedy for money. And of course, Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years back, but today that has not changed. That's how the material world is, and greed is one of the six enemies of the soul, and especially people who are surrounded with money, the nature is that they always want more and more and more money. And although everyone believes that money is what makes you happy, actually those who have a lot of money, often they are very miserable. Because with that money, so many anxieties are coming. And this is described here. Because if you have a lot of money, then you're always in anxiety that someone may steal your money, and you can never trust anyone, you know. Everyone is nice to you, but you never know. They may be just after my money. You know? Shyama Sundar Prabhu was here, and he told about his relationship with George Harrison, and then how Prabhupada at some point asked George Harrison, please, you asked Shyama Sundar, please ask George for donating the Krishna book. And you know, Shyama Sundar felt very bad because I never asked money from George Harrison, because he understood that will spoil the friendship. You know, immediately George will feel bad. So, but still, Prabhupada had clearly advised, so he had to do it. And then in the evening, after they spent the whole day or evening together, after the dinner, prasadam, Shyama Sundar kind of had to make the question, well, Prabhupada actually asked me to ask you whether you could sponsor the book, Krishna book. And immediately you could see in the face of George Harrison, he kind of became disappointed, disgusted. Now these people also asking for money. But what happened in that moment? There was a thunderbolt, and there was like the electricity went out. And everyone was like, and when the light went on, George smiled. Okay, how much do you need? So he could understand, there was a sign, you know. So Krishna helped. But generally speaking, for rich people, it is very, very difficult because everyone is after their money. So for them it's very difficult to really trust someone, to have real friendship, relationship with someone, because always there is some fear that someone wants to cheat me, someone wants to exploit me. So in this way, actually, this is really not happiness. And Prabhupada makes the point several times that this is not happiness, but actually misery. And we understand the goal of life is not to become materially opulent. And Prabhupada speaks of the asuri sampat. That asuri sampat means material opulence. And in this world, people usually, they always strive to get all kind of opulence as wealth. But actually, that's not really helpful for spiritual life. Because if we have too much comfort, too much opulences, then we actually waste our time just to have a comfortable lifestyle. But actually, a more simple life with less money, with less opulence, is much more favorable for devotional service. Because if we have a simple lifestyle, then we have to more depend on Krishna, and also we find more time to actually strive or search for the Devi Sampat, which means for the spiritual wealth. And a spiritual wealth is something which is in our heart, which is the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So that's one point. But then Prabhupada speaks about money in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. And I think some weeks ago when I gave class, there was a similar topic came up. And I gave the example that once Prabhupada disciples, they brought a picture, a photograph of a yogi who was kind of, avoiding money. Some people, they wanted to give money, and that yogi, no money, like, I'm renounced. So when Prabhupada saw the picture, he said, you can take a photograph of me like this, taking money. Yes, all money comes to me, Prabhupada says. Why? Not that Prabhupada is greedy after money, but because Prabhupada knows we need a lot of money to spread Krishna consciousness. And this is what Prabhupada here points out in a purport, quoting Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describing Yukta Vairagya. That actually, as described here, that when one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. That's the proper way to renounce, that you actually, whatever you have, you take it, and then you use it in Krishna service. It's not that we have to renounce something which actually could be used. Of course, we renounce what is unfavorable, but whatever is favorable, we accept, and we use it in Krishna service. And as a servant of Krishna, we always understand that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, he's the supreme proprietor, and I'm just his servant. And as a servant, I'm not possessing anything. So, and that's also saying, if I don't possess something, how can I feel that this is mine? So that mood of possessiveness cannot come if I identify myself as a servant. But then Prabhupada makes the point that for a preacher in Krishna consciousness, it can be dangerous. And I'm sure many of you have made the experience, if you go on Sankirtan and book distribution, and after a successful day, you distributed 100 books, and then in the evening the brahmacharis come together in the Sankirtan van, and then you count all the money. So there can be a danger that one starts to become attached to that money. You know, like, wow, we collected so much money, so at least something should be for me, you know? Okay, we should give it to the temple, but I did so much hard work, so something should be for me also, you know. Let's spend some money for my own gratification. So this danger is there. And generally speaking, money is one of the great obstacles on the path of spiritual life. It is said that money, women or men, like the attraction to the opposite sex, the desire for sex life, and the desire for fame, adoration, distinction. These are the main obstacles in spiritual life. And in some way, greed for money can be given up easily, in some way. But then this desire, desire for sex is more difficult. But even the gross desire to enjoy sex life can also be given up. But then that desire to be honored and to be respected, this is very, very difficult. And in Hari Bhakti Sudoya, I believe, there is some description that even a monk, someone who has renounced, he may, before he became a monk, he may be was very greedy for money, as described here in this text. But then he becomes a monk, he renounces money, but that greed is still there. So now he maybe become very greedy for the chapatis. You know, whenever there is prasadam, he wants many chapatis, or a lot of the paneer sabji. You know, give me more of that white vegetable there. You know, so the greed is still there. And maybe later, if he becomes a little more advanced, he may be able to give up that greed, but then he develops a desire to become famous for his renunciation. Oh, he is so renounced. He only eats one chapati, you know, and a little milk and nothing more. So that desire is still there. And after becoming more advanced, and he maybe even gives up that desire for fame, and he's not searching anymore for it. He's not looking for it, but if it comes, he still likes it. He still enjoys it, you know. Like someone plays very nicely mridanga, or sings a nice kirtan. Prabhu, such an amazing kirtan. He maybe was not looking for this, but when it comes, he said, oh, nice, yes. Finally, someone recognizes my great talent, how I'm a wonderful kirtani. So, but to give this up is very difficult, because in some way it's natural, we like that people appreciate us, that's there. So, but we should be aware that this is a very great obstacle. And the different acharyas, they have given quite strong words on this pratishta, that desire. We find in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says, even if one can give up all material desire, the desire for fame is very difficult to give up. This desire for fame, which I compare to stool, is the root cause of all anarthas. Therefore, one should carefully avoid touching this stool-like desire for fame. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments, says, this instruction is very serious. The devotee should follow this exclusive duty with special care. So the acharyas, they kind of, they warn us, you know, it's really... And also Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manashiksha, is a famous one, says, O mind, how can pure divine love appear in my heart as long as the shameless, dog-eating, outcast woman of desire for false prestige, pratishta, is audaciously dancing there? No. So as long as this desire of pratishta is dancing in the heart, how can pure love appear there? It's not possible. So because more than anything else, the root cause of bondage to this world is the false ego. And the false ego seeks this enjoyment of being something special, being superior to others, being better than others, being the best, being like with this desire for fame and distinction. And Danudar Swami wrote an interesting blog, like an article on this subject matter. And at the end, he gives like some advice, some tips, and I felt I'd like to share. So his first advice is, never act in a way that is impelled by a desire for fame. So in other words, we should be introspective. And before we do something, we should consider, why I'm doing this? Do I have some... motivation for fame doing this? And then he says, be especially careful how you use social media. You know, like Facebook, okay, I post this picture and then how many likes will I get? No, this is very closely connected with what we are speaking here, you know, the desire for being honored. And so one should be very careful. I mean, no doubt Facebook can be used very nicely in Krishna consciousness, in preaching, but one should be careful. And then the second, when thoughts of distinction arise, Give them up and reflect honestly on your actual position. If I start to think, oh, I'm something very special, wait a minute. Actually, I'm just an insignificant soul, and I'm just a servant of Krishna. And then the third, and I found that very helpful, strive like ardently or very honestly, sincerely for devotion. When true devotion arises, one will gradually garner distaste for fame, which impedes the devotional sweetness. So in other words, if you actually develop a devotion for Krishna, bhakti, then naturally you will feel like you lose the taste for this kind of desire. So the cultivation of bhakti, that's the remedy. And of course, to understand that I'm actually a servant of Krishna, and to understand my actual position, understand Krishna's position, then this desire goes. Because if I truly become humble, if I truly understand my position and Krishna's position, there is no need for this distinction. And Prabhupada, in one purport in the second canto, he also describes how if one meditates, this is a description of someone meditates about the Paramatma, but Prabhupada speaks about devotional service, bhakti yoga. If someone practices bhakti yoga, as a natural result, anartha nivritti should take place. That's basically what happens. You know, we read here about greed for money, and we just spoke about the more subtle form is the greed for fame and pratishtha and so on. So these kind of anarthas, they will be removed if we actually engage in devotional service. That's what is the result of practicing devotional service. And Prabhupada says like this, he says that meditation on the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, or devotional service in general, the first processional step must show its effect by anartha nivritti. The grossest type of anartha which binds the conditioned soul in a material existence is sex desire. And this sex desire gradually develops into the union of male and female, and of course then it goes on with the accumulation of buildings, children, friends, and also wealth and money. And the ego starts to become stronger with this attachment of I and mine. But bhakti yoga leads to gradual evaporation of sex desire, which is summarized in the three headings, namely profit, adoration, and distinction. So Prabhupada also speaks about these more subtle forms, labha, pucha, and pratishtha. Like labha, just the desire for profit, for wealth, but then pucha, the desire to be worshipped, and then pratishtha, the desire for being something very special. All conditioned souls are mad after these different forms of sex desires. That's also interesting. It's all different forms of sex desire. The desire to be something special, that's also a form of sex desire. Someone may be a brahmachari, lives in a celibacy for many years and does not indulge in sex, but he may still, you know, in some way indulge in sex by these subtle forms. But all this, one shall see for himself how much he has been freed from such material hankering based primarily on sex desires. So Prabhupada says one should see for himself. And then Prabhupada gives a very very good analogy. He says, a person feels hunger satisfied after eating each morsel of foodstuff. He must similarly be able to see the degree to which he has been freed from sex desire. If you're really hungry and you eat something, with each morsel of food you take, each time you chew and swallow, my hunger is going, you know, I feel more and more satisfied, I feel more of strength. And then no one else has to tell you, oh, I think now your hunger is kind of satisfied. Nobody has to tell. You can feel it yourself, right? So Prabhupada points out, similarly, in devotional service, when we actually practice bhakti yoga, we should be able to see ourselves, how much have I become free from sex desire? How much have I become free from this greed for money, for this greed for fame, adoration? That we should be able to see. And this means that we should be very introspective and try to understand how we are making progress. So this I found a very interesting point, that while we are very active in many different activities, we may do so much service, we do so many preaching activities, still we always should be very careful to also take the time to be introspective and to look how far I have advanced in Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, of course, we should engage in all the different activities of Krishna consciousness. And although, as Prabhupada points out, a preacher may face some difficulties, here it says that a preacher can become attached to money. And of course, a preacher in Krishna consciousness will face many other obstacles. There can be so many difficulties as a preacher, but because a devotee receives the instruction from his spiritual master, he is very kind of enthusiastic and very determined to follow the instruction of his spiritual master. And a devotee always feels a lot of compassion. Like in the beginning of this section, it was described that the Paramahamsa, usually he does not speak to anyone. But of course, Prahlad Maharaj was a very exalted personality, so the Paramahamsa could understand this is Prahlad Maharaj, so he answered his question. But Prabhupada points out that usually such great personalities, they don't speak to ordinary people. But sometimes out of their kindness, after compassion, they actually also speak to someone who actually is not interested. And that's the mood of Srila Prabhupada, like, because it's generally said one should not instruct a fool, because a fool becomes angry. And many people out there on the streets, they're not interested in Krishna consciousness. And even Krishna points out in Gita that one should not unsettle or not disturb people who are too much attached. But then Prabhupada in the purport describes, but the devotees are more kind, more compassionate, and actually they approach all the different peoples and try to give them Krishna consciousness, because they feel so much compassion. And even if they are facing some difficulties, still they go on. And there is a beautiful purport also by Prabhupada on this point, how a preacher, although he may face some difficulties, he goes on. Just read a part of it. Sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the fallen souls Chagai and Madai. Maybe a story. We know the story, like cutting a clay pot, head on, kind of smashed on the head. And similarly, Lord Jesus Christ, Prabhupada also points out him, was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotees in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied. They know, by this activity of preaching, by this activity of going out, distributing books, giving people Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very satisfied. And that's why they take up difficulties. This is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Krishna in any circumstances. And Prabhupada goes on that pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as a substance of life. They don't mind what comes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord, or from the Lord himself. And of course, in this word, we can hear Prabhupada, actually, Prabhupada himself is a very good example. You know, in the age of almost 70, you know, going to America, you know, does not know, they do not mind what comes to the future. Like Prabhupada had no idea what will expect him. But he was just so fixed on fulfilling the mission of his guru. And then to complete, there is an analogy Prabhupada gives that the example set in here is very appropriate. A traveler, like someone who travels far different places, leaves home to search for wealth in far distant places, sometimes in a forest and sometimes in the ocean and sometimes on hilltops. Certainly there are many troubles for the traveler when he is in such unknown places. So it can be a big adventure to travel through forest jungles, and there are wild animals or some dacoits. Many different dangers are there. But all such troubles are at once mitigated as soon as the sense of his family affection is remembered, and as soon as he returns home, he forgets all such troubles on the way. If he remembers his dear wife, his children, his sweet home, then he kind of, okay, he gets some strength, some enthusiasm. Okay, let's continue, let's go on. So a pure devotee of the Lord is exactly in a family tie with the Lord. So a pure devotee, he's in a very strong family tie with Krishna. He always very affectionately remembers Krishna and his guru. And because of that close relationship with Krishna, he is willing to go through all kinds of troubles. And therefore, he is undeterred in discharging his duty in a full affection tie with the Lord. So he just continues, although there may be difficulties, because he always feels that deep connection with Krishna. So in this way we can understand, as described here, that greed for money is not really a source for happiness. And even in Krishna consciousness, even in spreading Krishna consciousness, we need money. But if a preacher can be faced with some difficulties if he develops attachment, but if he has a proper understanding, and he will know how to engage this money in Krishna service, and even if he faces other difficulties, he always will continue his preaching work because he feels that strong connection with Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna. I will stop here. I'd like to see whether there are some questions or some comments on the points we have made. Yeah, because Krishna conscious movement needs unlimited amount of money. Whoever is engaged in this temple knows, you know, there needs some renovation of the samadhi. There is always a need of money. It's unlimited. And people have money. Also Prabhupada says, actually money is flying in the air. We just have to learn the art of catching the money. And it's true. You know, materialistic people, they have so much money. It's just a matter of bringing Lakshmi back to Narayan, trying to inspire people to give it to the right cause. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I noticed that we try to desire less this fame and adoration and distinction as we diminish these desires. Krishna can reciprocate, you accept some people to chastise us, or reveal some of our faults. There are always people who praise us, but there's like a balance. And so it's like we shouldn't be attached to either.
Right, so you're saying that Krishna is also there, and actually Krishna helps us in sending someone to chastise us, or you know, to balance the whole thing.
Yes, we're more balanced, not like thinking that in a very way. Yeah. Not thinking like so aggressive that we can be
Yeah, it's a good point. Actually, while our studies, Bhaktivaibhava studies, we also spoke about this topic. And then the question was raised, in some way it's kind of also natural to seek for some appreciation. And I gave the example, you know, if you give a class, and then after the class, people say, oh, it was a nice class. Then in some way you appreciate this. Then Adipurusha Prabhu, he was laughing. He was saying, you should give more classes, because at some point you will realize, you know, somehow there is no power to speak, everything goes wrong, and the class was very bad, you know. In other words, as you just said, sometimes Krishna just kind of gives us some experience to again become humble. And Krishna is actually very expert. As soon as we develop pride, then Krishna is immediately there to crush this pride, especially with the devotees. And Krishna knows so many ways to do that. I'm sure many of us have experienced, I had a lot of experience, how Krishna very expertly crushes our pride. So, but of course, the best thing would be to maintain a proper humility, then there is not so much chastisement needed. So, it is really, everything is, if we can always remember that we are servants of Krishna, and if we can develop an honest mood of humility, it makes life so much easier. Yes?
There's a nice verse by Narada Muni. He says, Mahadvirabhava Nishtaitam Svaniyakimunati. Devotees of the Lord do not think that the services they do are actions under their own control, but they are expressions of Krishna's supreme mercy.
Wow. Beautiful.
This helps us keep that humility and follow the mercy of Krishna with any ability we have as Krishna's supreme mercy.
Yeah. That's a beautiful quote. Just reminds me of Prabhupada in a purport describes the true quality of a speaker or the mood of a speaker, and there also Prabhupada points out that the speaker should always feel depend on Krishna. He should feel like as an instrument, not hankering for credit, and also have the desire to be moved by Krishna. And also, a devotee always understands that only by the touch of Krishna, things become spiritualized. So, we can try our best, but if Krishna is not giving the blessings, it always needs this touch. Like in the, I think in 11th chapter of the first canto, it's described how Krishna blows his conch, and then by touching the white conchal, it seems to become like reddish. And Prabhupada describes that in the material world, everything is dead matter. But if it's touched by Krishna, it becomes spiritualized. So whatever we do, we should always depend on Krishna's mercy and seek out that mercy. And when Krishna blesses us, then everything becomes spiritualized, everything becomes auspicious. So that humility is required. Alright, then I like to take the opportunity to thank all of you. I have been spending 4.5 months in Vrindavan studying Bhakti Vaibhava. It was a wonderful experience. Tomorrow I'm going back to Switzerland. So I like to thank all the devotees, especially the devotees here of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. I really felt very much at home, so you gave me this feeling of being part of the family, so that it's very, very nice. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Vanshakal.